Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. We've got 25 more minutes to go here. I'm Tim Wildman with... And I'm in Birmingham, Alabama, and Fred Jackson's in Tupelo, Mississippi, and Ray Pritchard's in Kansas City. And we thank you for listening to AFR, wherever you may be. So, fellas, before the break, we were talking about the the different trials that former President Trump will have to deal with coming up in the next few months. And I was saying, you know, how you view Trump's actions and words oftentimes depends on it, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. For there is some crossover, but very little. And so I was going to try to explain the way I think a lot of liberals and Democrats and a lot of independents view President Trump. And his actions, while the caveat is, I don't believe everything I'm about to say. So when I make when I'm playing the lawyer here and trying to give you the other side, please don't misunderstand. I agree with Ray. A lot of this is just political. They're going after him politically. I agree with that. But let me just lay some things out for you here. Okay. Did you say that Trump is in the courtroom in New York about which case is that, Fred?
This is the defamation case. It involves writer E. Jean Carroll. Yeah. That case. And it goes back to the 1990s.
Okay. All right. Let's take that case for example. Trump, first of all, I don't know how you go back to the 90s to prove somebody's... Huh, that just seems ridiculous. The statute of limitations not to apply to something like that. Are the liberals out to get Trump every day, all day? Yes. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, Mr. Trump steps on rakes a lot of times. He steps on rakes, and I don't understand why his lawyers let him do this. He had a deposition there in that case, which I watched. And this was the rape case, which the court found him not guilty of that, right? But they found him guilty of sexual abuse, right? Is that the same case? Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, and I watched the deposition with Trump, and he's sitting there, and he, you know what he says to the lawyer on the other side for this woman? He says, she's talking to him, and he says, about whether he raped her or not, or sexually abused her or not, he said, she's not my type. That was his answer. And then he said to the lawyer, the lady lawyer, neither are you. And I'm going, oh, he didn't really just say that, did he? Huh? And then you know, a lot of people laughed. They said, well, that's Trump being Trump. Okay, that's fine. But I'm just telling you, there are a lot of people who look at that and go, that's not how you answer that question. Okay, that's not how you see what I'm saying? So when you see a judgment ruling against Trump for millions of dollars or whatever in that case, I say, okay, I don't know how you prove Trump did or didn't do that, and I don't think he did, but anyway, he was a playboy. I mean, let's place it. I mean, three wives, and he cheated on all of them. I mean, that he lived the life of a New York playboy liberal for 40 years. So a lot of things about President Trump, are believable in the sense that he lived that lifestyle. But in a courtroom, you don't say she's not my type when you're talking about rape. All right? You see what I'm saying here? Mm-hmm. So sometimes his answers and the way cavalier attitude gets him in trouble. All right? And especially with people who are independent. Now, that's that case. And is that what he's in New York for right now?
Let me just read this because I want people to be clear what's going on here today. This is the jury selection is beginning today, federal court in Manhattan. And this is opening arguments could take place by this afternoon. basically, this is a case about how much more he owes this writer, yes. E. Jean Carroll, yes. for denying that he sexually assaulted her in the 1990s and accusing her of lying about her claims.
Right.
So this...
It's a civil case.
Yes, and it's about the amount of reward or award yeah. she is due.
Yeah. So, listen, for all I know, this woman's totally making this up. Trump said he never knew her, you know, but I don't know. Who knows? How do you go back to the 90s and figure something like that out? So, now, okay, so we're continuing on here. The January 6th case, which is one of the federal cases against President Trump.
Correct.
I said to you earlier, depends on whether you're Republican or Democrat, how you see that thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Republicans, we all know, most conservatives say, you know, President Trump is not responsible for an insurrection. It wasn't an insurrection. Nobody had weapons. Nobody burned anything, shot anybody, or took hostages or anything like that. Okay, that is true. And I think in that case, everybody's responsible for their own actions. Okay, if you committed acts of vandalism or violence on that day, then you're going to get in trouble. Okay, you have your own problems, and we know. And the J6 people have been terribly mistreated. And Sandy Rios has documented that well. Many of them gone without. You know, their court cases being brought up in a timely fashion, and we've all heard the horror stories. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, and I'm not talking about whether Trump is guilty or not of a crime, all right? That'll be determined in the court case. But I'm telling you that liberals, Democrats, and a lot of independents, and some Republicans say, I don't care whether he's guilty of a crime. He's morally responsible for what happened on that day because he incited a riot. Okay, you may say, well, that's nuts. No, if you listen to the words of President Trump on that day, he was very worked up, very upset, and he sent those people from the rally where he was down to the Capitol building. And nothing's good going to happen when you send a bunch of riled up people, emotional people, down to the Capitol building after the first rally. Please. Do not send me emails or call me. I understand. I understand what you're saying, what a lot of people are saying in response to that. But can you at least see when somebody says go down and stop the steal and fight like hell over and over again? Can you not see how some people would say, well, I don't care about the legalities of it. He incited those people. Do you guys see how that's a reasonable position to have for a lot of people? Or is that nuts?
It's not nuts.
No.
Okay. It's not nuts. So you see what I'm saying here? Okay, now, you got the Georgia case. Okay, so Trump calls the Secretary of State of Georgia and tells him to find votes. Is that what he said?
Yeah, fine. Either he or Rudy Giuliani's.
Yeah, find the 11,000.
There's Trump on the phone with the Secretary of State there. Go ahead.
Find the 11,000 votes.
Whatever it was, the number of votes. Okay, right. You can look at that two ways, right? And when I hear it, I say, well, Trump's not telling them to find votes that aren't there.
Right.
He's not trying to tell them to make up votes or cheat. He's telling them there are votes there that weren't counted, and you need to do your job and find them, right? If you're a Democrat, you say, my word, a president of the United States is calling a Secretary of State of Georgia and leaning on him like that to tell him to find. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Find votes. If Obama or Biden had called Secretary of State of Ohio and told him to find votes, you know what we'd be talking about right now? We'd be saying that is absurd. A president should not be doing that. You guys see what I'm saying here?
Mm-hmm.
So the legalities of it aside, I'm just telling you the perception of a lot of people on that kind of situation. Now, finally, the documents case in Florida with President Trump. President Trump defied a federal court order to return documents. All right? That's why they raided his house down there. Was it? So I'm just telling you, he said, President Trump said, no, they're mine, and I'm keeping them. And, some, and you know, it's going to be determined in court whether he tried to deceive or hide those classified documents from the authorities. But he, that the accusation is he defied a federal court order to return. It wasn't a National Archives argument that I could understand. It was more of a, you defied a federal court order. Now, you may say, well, listen, Trump's right. He can keep anything he wanted to. He was president. He could leave and he can do anything he wants to because he has presidential, you know, authority. I understand that argument, but I'm just saying for the, if a Democrat president had, if Biden or Obama had done the same thing and defied a federal court order, then we would be saying that's wrong and you shouldn't do that and you should be held accountable for doing it. That's probably his high risk case down there, the one in Florida, the higher risk when you talk to attorneys in terms of whether he'll be found guilty of obstruction of justice, I think is the charge against him. So there you go. Again, Tim doesn't believe all that Tim just laid out for you. I'm just telling you how a lot of Americans who don't necessarily think like we do see all these cases against Trump. Does that make sense for Ray?
Well, and part of it is, Tim, here at AFR, we're talking about this all the time. We're following these cases all the time. A lot of people in America, they don't pay a lot of attention to this until you get down to the politics and you get down to time to vote. And then somebody says, well, Trump, look what he did. Look what he did. They're not going to investigate the details. So we, Tim, as you said, you made a case that you don't yourself completely believe in every detail. We understand that. You're really asking, how is this going to be perceived out there
in the general public?
The general public, and that's another whole question.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we all know that the Biden administration and the Biden Justice Department has 80-90% of the mainstream media on their side. Mm-hmm. They just faithfully repeat whatever the Biden White House, whatever the Attorney General says. And I think that weighs against people taking a look at things as you have just done, Tim, because they're so caught up with the idea that this is a Justice Department, an administration that is treating Donald Trump differently for political reasons, not for justice reasons.
Yes, but I think a fair observation is that Trump plays on the edges a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it may, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And that makes it more difficult for a lot of people. He does things that are not altogether well thought out sometimes, I think, which makes it harder on his attorneys and harder for those who want to defend him.
Yep.
The overarching idea that, you know, it's political persecution, did the Democrats want to take Trump out? Yeah. But you know, that's been the case since Russia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But a lot of times I'm saying former President Trump, he hurts himself with a lot of the words that he says, actions that he takes that are make it hard to win court cases and make it hard to defend him in the broad general public against accusations that the liberals and the Democrats bring him. The word insurrection, for example, I'll just give you an example. Insurrection depends on how you interpret it in this case, right?
Yeah.
The Democrats and the media, as you say, they're going to say insurrection all day, every day. Why? Because they know that plays well with the broad general public in their opinion of Donald Trump and their opinion of him as a candidate. So they're going to keep saying insurrection, insurrection, insurrection. No, it was a riot that got out of control and people did some things that they shouldn't have done. But had it been a true insurrection, a coup, then you would have had more organization. You'd have had people with weapons. You'd have had more violence. You'd had hostages taken. It would have been a lot uglier than it was on that day.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every American is going to have to decide what do they believe about the word insurrection as it relates to the former president.
Yep.
Because the Democrats and the liberal media, as you say, right, Fred, they're going to keep using that word every day, all day.
Mm-hmm.
So Hey, guys, we got about 10 minutes left. Can we change topics altogether?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Can we do a little whiplash here? Now, does everybody – am I going to get emails now, Ray and Fred? Because I'm going to send them to Ed.
Yes.
usually plays
send them
part
to Ed,
it.
Right.
I'm going to send
That's
them
right.
to Ed.
Forward them to Ed.
We miss you, Ed.
Yes. All right. I had to play the part of the liberal today. And again, I was just trying to explain the way that a lot of Americans think about the former president. All right, so listen, in my view, President Trump had a very successful, for the most part, tenure, his 4 years in office. I think the COVID response was, I give him mixed reviews on his COVID response. I give him a lot of grace because nobody had ever dealt with anything like that.
Yeah.
So it was thrown at him. You know, in the last year of his election, of his presidency, last 6 months or so of his presidency, I think he did about as good a job as you can do under the circumstances in that situation. But the rest of his presidency, I think he did a pretty good job there while he was in the White House. All right, so I'm not anti-Trump in that respect. I have a lot of problems with the way he behaves and the things that he says and does. But his presidency, I voted for him in 2020. I think he did a good job. Okay, so whiplash here. Give you whiplash. On a personal level, I want to talk about this for just a moment because a year ago, October, which would have been October of 2022. My wife, Allison, of 40, we'll be married 40 years this summer. She discovered a lump on her neck. We were out on the patio one night, and she started feeling around her neck. She discovered a lump on her neck, and went to the doctor, and the doctor said, no more monkeys jumping on the bed. And, you know, that was, huh? I'm sorry.
That's a great song. Kids love that song. Kids love that song.
Love that song?
No more monkeys jumping on the bed.
Went to the doctor, and the doctor said, hey, I think it may be an infection you got there. Let's take an antibiotic and see if this doesn't go away. Well, it didn't go away. And we went to the went back. She had an x-ray. She had a scan. Doctor comes in. It's one of those moments a lot of people listening to me have experienced with their friends or family or personally, and the doctor goes, you got cancer. You either got lymphoma or you got leukemia. This talking to Allison, so I'm in there, and she goes, so you need to go get a biopsy done. So we will go to a biopsy done. Biopsy confirms that she has Hodgkin's lymphoma. You guys heard of that?
Yep. Yep.
It's a blood cancer. So then she went through 3 months of chemotherapy. Again, a lot of people listening to me right now have done the same thing for various different kinds of cancer. Cancer is a scourge, attacks many people, many families. But so then we went in on February, and the oncologist said, well, the cancer's gone. We wonderful. This is great news. You know, 3 months of chemotherapy and the cancer's gone. It had not spread. She had lymphoma in her chest area, some spots, but it had not gone to her organs or anything, lower organs or anything like that. So the chemotherapy did its thing. But people who have cancer, they live scan to scan, right? And so that she had 2 more scans, didn't show anything. And then October again of 20, a few months ago here, what is it, 2023, she had a scan and the doctor said, well, the cancer's back. And she didn't say it like that. She had a little bit more tact than that. But she said, you got 2 spots, 2 tiny spots then. So it's showing that the lymphoma is coming back. But she said, good news, you are a candidate for stem cell replacement. And we didn't know what that was. I'd heard of it, but I didn't know exactly what it was. You guys heard of this?
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, stem cell replacement. So we came over to, we drove from Tupelo to Birmingham. This is about a month ago, to meet with the oncologist over here at the University of Alabama, Birmingham, which is a wonderful cancer treatment center. Just world-class. Okay. So we're driving over. And Allison's on the phone with assistant for the oncologist, making sure we're going to be there at our appointment and everything the next day. And she says, well, you need to plan on about 6 weeks being away from your home. And Allison, I don't know why we thought this. We thought this would be like an outpatient 48-hour deal. You know, and Allison, like, reaches over and, like, hits me in the chest as I'm trying to drive down the road, you know, when she hears the news that we're going to be away from home 4 to 6 weeks. She just hits me in the chest, about gave me a heart attack. But she's reacting to the idea of being away from home that long, being in the hospital that long. So we I'm making a long story longer, but we came over here, 6 weeks ago, and then she's been in the hospital for 17 consecutive days, Allison, my wife, getting a stem cell replacement. Now, she was able to use her own stem cells, which is a lot of people have to have a donor. They have to have people who match their blood type or whatever it is exactly. I made a C in chemistry, so I'm not going to be able to tell you much more than that right there. But she was able to use her own, and she was in the hospital for 17 consecutive days. Couldn't leave. Could not leave. I could. I stayed with her, but she couldn't leave. But so yesterday we celebrated getting out of the hospital, and the doctors told us that your stem cells, your new stem cells, are taken off. And,
wow.
And yeah, and you're going to have her immune system, which they took down to zero, is now rebuilding itself
right.
with her new stem cells. And so she, you know, in 3 months she should be good to go, completely, totally healed of the cancer.
Isn't that
of
great?
The lymphoma.
Great.
So we praise the, I'm telling you that to praise the Lord.
Amen.
For his.
Amen.
For his hand of healing on my wife, Allison.
Absolutely.
And so, and to say, we need to pray for people who are going through, well, disease of any kind. It was, you know, when you're in a hospital like we were for 17 days, you see a lot of sad situations, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, anyway, the cancer is just a very wicked disease. Ray, you got anything to say? We got a minute or two left.
Here at the end of all this, how is Allison physically feeling? This is quite an ordeal she's been through. But
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It takes its toll. But, you know, the doctor came in and told us, the oncologist, who's about 37, 38 years old, I don't know how many cases she has seen, she said to Allison, she said, I can tell you I've never seen a patient handle chemotherapy like you do. She
wow.
said, so that was a, you know, that I, whatever that's worth, she said, you handle chemotherapy better than anybody I've ever seen.
Wow.
Because she got hit with some heavy drugs, heavy chemotherapy. You have to do that. That's necessary when you have a stem cell replacement therapy. So she said, you've been able to handle that. Now, she lost her hair like everybody else, right? And you, but the great thing is, you know, in 2 or 3 months, she'll be good as new,
right?
Ready to go. And
fantastic. Thanks
be to
God.
Quite frankly, you know, I'm about tired of taking. I've been handling the whole load. I mean, I'm not complaining, you know, but I'm ready to give some of this back to her just as soon as possible. No, I'm just teasing. My wife's wonderful. She's a trooper, and I just want to praise the Lord for his.
Amen.
Well, being with us and all the prayers of everybody, huh?
Say hello for us. And congratulations. Congratulations.
I will. And that's the reason we're in Birmingham, Alabama, and I've been doing for the show from over here. And hopefully we'll be home by the end of the week. I'll be back in Tupelo if the ice will melt.
Yeah, that's right.
So I can get back. Listen, have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening to AFR. Take care.
See ya. Bye-bye.